everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The love of God is always towards us. And He always speaks to us from the heart. Years ago, the Lord instructed me some things in ministry, saying, when you speak my word, I'm not talking to the mind of man. I'm speaking to them in their heart. And the word of God is detectable. The human spirit is made in honor of God, in His likeness. Satan didn't make man. Satan is just a tempter. He tempts people with alternatives. Lying wonders, lying alternatives. And his lies can seem so good. But when you have a strong love for the truth, there's just something unclean about it. And you may not know everything, but some things just don't sound right. No matter how it's dressed up, no matter what kind of mask it has on. When people have a strong love for what is right, they grow. And the more we love truth, the less we believe lies. But in order to get a lie over to us, the enemy has to dress up first. He never comes looking like a devil. The only time he'll come to you looking like a devil is after you can't get out of hell. Or he'll use fear tactics. But sometimes the Lord will reveal what's behind the mask. The Apostle Paul said he comes looking like an angel of light, for he can make himself look like an angel of light. This is why the love of God, the love of God's word, once it's in us, when He speaks His word and we receive it, we receive knowledge that trumps everything in the world. We receive knowledge and wisdom that's light to us. It lightens up our path. It helps us to understand. He can say a few words and we understand volumes. Because the Lord is speaking to us in the heart. And the foundation, God is foundation. And because He's foundation, He'll speak foundation of things. And we must receive it. If we receive it by faith, it's in our heart and it's like it becomes a part of who we are. That's the easiest way to live in victory. Is receive God's word in your heart. Let it nourish you. Let it build you up. Let it cleanse you, purify you, and live by it. Speak it. The word of God in your heart can be used as a weapon. It can be used to introduce change. It can be used to help other people understand, because it is life. Let us all speak the life of God. Let us speak blessings on people. As priests and kings, we have the authority. In the last broadcast, we talked a little bit about authority. And we have that authority, and we are priests. As we receive His word and speak it, it enables other people to see and hear. And when people receive, anybody that receives God's word, it will start a healing process in them. And when we teach, one preacher said, if you want people to get saved, teach and preach salvation. If you want them to get healed, teach and preach healing. Do it correctly. Teach and preach God's word about it. If you want them to prosper, teach and preach prosperity. If you want them to walk in authority, teach them, preach authority. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. We need many aspects of God's word operating in our lives. Some people, they took God at his word and learned how to be healed. Some people learn how to prosper, but they may not know how to walk in authority. Some people learn to walk in authority, and they may lack knowledge about prosperity. But never look at what you lack. Look at who. Look unto the Lord, who can fulfill all things. Whatever you're believing God for, look at him. Consider what the word says. Consider what the Lord says in his word. And consider what the word is saying. And then make your choices by your faith. It's not a mystery. If we will live according to the foundation of God's word, there's no good thing we can't do. But like in the other broadcast, we have to get away from the rudiments of the teachings of cold religion. The thoughts that say, well, God is in full control. Whatever happened to us is his will. That's not true. We make our own path by our faith. The more we receive God's word and speak it, we start a process. Before Isaac was conceived by Abraham, before he fathered Isaac, the Lord told him, next year this time you'll have a son. He said, be perfect. The first thing, because he was going to have a son the very next year, he told him to be perfect. Now, if you want your children to be obedient, you be obedient. If you want your children to walk in the love of God and in the wisdom of God and be pure and not be phony, you have to do that towards the Lord. You have to be pure in the sight. You have to love all people purely, undefiled, unfeigned. Peter talked about the unfeigned love of the brothers. That means pure love, true love. No matter how they are, you love them. As we do the things that of the Lord, we set a pace. We set a pattern for our children. We are involved in how our children turn out. If you live right before the Lord and conceive children, you have children. And you live a life, a prayerful life that God can honor. And you're doing all to stand. You love the Lord. Your children will be mighty. Because you started a process. If you operate in courage and faith, you'll see your children operating in courage and in faith. When I was young, I'm going to give you an example. I've seen many aspects of what I had done by faith in my own children. Now, we lived in Roslyn Heights, near Zion City, between Zion City and Airport Road. It was a nice house, and it had a basement. And it had a two-car garage. And my parents turned it into a den. And put a TV and couches down. It was real nice. And I didn't. My dad used to go to Utah, Alabama every weekend, and I would stay home and go to church with my sister because I wanted to be around my friends. So that's how we worked it out. But on the weekend, there was nobody there but me and my sister, my nephews. And the thought of being afraid bothered me. I didn't like it. I was not a Christian yet. But I decided I didn't want to be afraid of anything. So I went downstairs and slept by myself in that big old room. And it was pitch black dark. And I just decided I would not be afraid. And I was not a Christian yet. I didn't believe on Jesus yet. I had a love for God, but I really wasn't saved yet. This was the years between the age of, I guess, 10, 11, or all the way up to maybe 14, somewhere in that range. I did this on my own. And then I said, there's nothing to be afraid of. And I kept doing it. And eventually moved into the other den downstairs. One den was finished, the other one, you know, we stopped parking cars because a man's house got caught on fire. And mama didn't want to risk the house catching on fire, so she didn't want the cars in the house, so they made a den out of the part I slept in. And eventually I moved into the other den. Anyway, make a long story short, my son did the very same thing. And I didn't tell him what I had done. He just said he didn't want to be, he slept in the basement at his house, at his mom's house. And he said, I just believe in facing my fears. What we do sets the pace for what our children will do. The things of life that we choose, especially things of faith, they are more powerful than things of the world. If we don't deal with the world and drive it out of our hearts and out of our minds, you'll see the same problems, obstacles your children will have to face. See, everything that you receive in life, it stems from sowing and reaping. And sometimes people say, well, what did I do to deserve this? What did I do to deserve that? Sometimes it's nothing. You did. I asked the Lord once where problems came from. He said problems come from Satan, lack of knowledge, and other people's lack of knowledge. Sometimes people don't pull their weight, and it can cause you a problem if you don't position yourself right. When you see people deciding not to work, and they're grown, if you hang around them long enough, they're going to have you doing their part, unless you know how to say no, and they are very clever. In life, I learned never underestimate people, because they're made in God's image, and they can do some awesome things good. They can do awesome things in an awesome way, whether they're good or bad. And they can scheme and plot and plan and get you mixed up in the middle of that mess. And when people refuse to grow up, they can also cause you problems. And you have to use the wisdom of God to deal with people and understand where they're weak. And only the Lord can give you that kind of wisdom. And old people. People that have been there, they can help. But sometimes it can be very difficult in knowing how to deal with difficult people. And we're called to love them, and we have to minister to them and bless them. And we don't stop loving people because they're difficult, or because they decide not to grow or be lazy or whatever. But if you do their work, you're not helping them. If you do their work, you're not helping them. But the theme of what I'm saying is, you set the pace of your future and your children's future. Thanks be to God for His grace. He can get the job done for us. If you've not lived a good quality life before you had children and after you had children, and your children saw you do miserable things, repent now. Start doing God's word where you are. That's my best suggestion out of love for you. And they'll see you transition, and then they'll make some changes. And by all means, pray for them and be honest with them. Just be honest with them. Because I promise you, they have the same struggles you did. Show them what to avoid. You know, my mother told me something when I was very young. She said, sit down, son, I'm going to tell you something. She said, don't ever drink. She said, your family can't handle it. And she told me some stories, and I decided to listen to her. I would not drink. I decided I need to be in my right mind. I don't want to get drunk and go take all the money out of the bank and give it away. You know, people do wild things when they get drunk. They do things they shouldn't do. They get in trouble. Anything that weakens you can be an advantage, can give the enemy an unfair advantage against you. We have to buy food and water and clothes and somewhere to live. You don't have to add to it. You don't have to take drugs. That's a very unnecessary expense. Things that'll kill you, such as cigarettes and alcohol, you don't need those problems. And they're very expensive. You have to pay to kill yourself with those problems. And it's addictive. It turns you into somebody's slave. And that, I mean, it's just a dark thing to do. It's not God's best. And God will always love you. That's not what I'm saying. It's not about His love. His love will always be towards you. So I tell people all the time, if you have a problem with alcohol, drugs, or whatever, get saved. You have a much greater chance of destroying those problems out of your life with the Lord as your ally, with the power of the Holy Spirit helping you, guiding you in this life. Whatever your problem is, God loves you. Get saved. Believe on Jesus Christ. You may feel like you can't do everything that you should do, but if you can trust Him with your life, He can help you. And He can help you destroy those problems. And you're gonna find yourself laughing at the things that made you cry and lose your family. You're gonna be able to laugh at those same problems that took you down a dark road. And it's possible to get your family back, or whatever you lost, in many cases. But the best thing to do in the sight of your children is obey God. Because you're setting, every time as we live the life of God, live a life of obedience, we're taking ground, we're taking territory from the world. We're living publicly. We're operating by faith publicly. And the same healing process that's blessing us from the inside out, eventually people will see it on the outside and they'll be inspired. Now I'm going to tell you another little secret that the way people are. If you've done dark things for a long time, people, they've already discounted you and disqualified you. You're not going to make it. In their mind, you're just not going to make it. But if you do in their sight, and you start growing in the Lord, you're going to make them jealous. And they're going to envy you and wish they could, you know, the person that they disqualified is eventually doing better than them. And you change the dynamics of the relationship. And you put them, your whole life and your healing process challenges them from the inside out. And they take another look at the Lord. And they see the handiwork of God. And they want in on it. Because you're about to do better than them. And that's a good thing. The Jews were acted like they were upset because the Holy Spirit came on Paul and the apostles, and they tried to convince the Jews at that time to do the same thing, to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they thought they were right. They had their religious format. They had their teaching, their training, the Pharisees, and their cold religion, and they thought they were better. And then they saw the Holy, they said, if you don't want it, that's fine. And Paul shook the dust off his clothes and said the Gentiles will receive it. And then the Gentiles received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in their sight. And they got jealous because they made the Gentiles that listened got saved and blessed. when those that had gotten in the cold religion were without. Now they were in pride about how in they were in the circle of God's will. And they were in pride and they were wrong. They missed the whole point with their cold religion. While Paul and the apostles and Jews that loved God's will got saved, and then the Gentiles got saved and embarrassed them. See, I don't look down on nobody. When even the devil is afraid when somebody he had his foot on their neck all their lives and they get saved. The enemy has seen people get so mad. And they operate by their faith, and there's nothing he can do with them. And they embarrass Satan. They tell Satan to leave them alone, and they chase Satan out of their life. They chase him out of their will. And they learn to love God's will. And a healing process continues. And there's nothing he can do about it. And they did it publicly. And here's another little fact. They did it before heaven. Everybody that Satan said he was going to exalt himself over, they see him be defeated by people who, by common men, made of dust. Made of dust. And here he was made of precious stones. Every precious stone was his skin, his cover. And then people that made out of dust, they believed Jesus and just exposed him in victory. They have great victory in the name of Jesus, and they expose him for the liar that he truly is. You know, that's I love the healing process of ministry. I love what the Lord is doing. In the discourse of Zechariah's vision when he saw Zerubbabel, he told him not to despise small beginnings. The Lord can take a fraction and make a universe out of it. He can take a fraction of good, people that just truly love his ways and do great wonders in their lives. Like we said in the previous broadcast, reach forth unto the Lord. Take what he's saying. Take his word literally. Receive it in your heart. Measure it big. Because God can take little you and change this world. See, the time is at hand. He's got to come back. And he's got to do it. He's going to do a quick work. He's doing revival work. He's saving people. He's reaching people. Just think about it this way. Jesus is truly about to come back. And you need to be saved. You're the one need to be saved. Other people are saved. And you have your opinions and doubts and you've been taught certain things. You have your guard up when people talk about the Lord. You know how it is. You know how the enemy did us. And you have you have all these thoughts. And then what will other people think? You have all this going on. And Jesus is about to come back. You would want people to be praying and reach you in a way that will work. Well, we have friends, loved ones, people that just, especially many young people haven't heard yet. But under the right conditions, they can get saved. And the Lord can use you to do it. One of the Proverbs said that he that wins souls is wise. If we can receive God's wisdom and live a pure life and be guided by the Holy Spirit, receiving his word and doing his word, measuring it big, we can make a difference to many people, not just a few, many. Remember, the harvest has been white from the time Jesus left, but the laborers are few. There are so many people not being plucked out of harm's way. And I thank God for all the preachers and all the, you know, sometimes in the world there are hot spots. There are people God have got to get, and he will raise up people in time to collect them before they die. And he'll send missionaries like Lester Sumrall and great men of God, people that you'll never hear about, are being sent all over the world. And in many Muslim countries, Jesus himself is appearing to many. And there was one Muslim got saved from some Rhema graduates that started a ministry in Jerusalem. They were renting an apartment in his daddy's apartment building. And then he eventually got saved under their ministry. He called them the happy people. It's on YouTube. You can look at it. There are many Muslims that have gotten saved, and they're getting on YouTube and talking about what happened. One Muslim guy was on his deathbed, and Jesus appeared to him and healed him. And he told his brother died and went to hell, and spoke with Jesus, and Jesus healed him. Now, the guy I was telling you about in Jerusalem, his dad had the apartment, and the Rhema graduates, he got saved under their ministry. He called them the happy people. He got saved, but he told them not to tell anybody. Eventually, he got strong in faith, and he started going to church with other ex-Muslims that had gotten saved. And they asked him, "Did Jesus appear to you too?" He said, "No, he didn't appear to me. I just saw the happy people, and I went to church with them, and I fell in love with Jesus and got saved." And he said, "Did he appear to y'all?" And they said, "He appeared to all of us." It was more people Jesus had appeared to in the room than the man that just got saved because of the happy people. And he was confused why they were so happy at first. When you have the joy of the Lord, it gets attention. You are peculiar. The Lord can do a work in your life through you. But you got to believe it. It's not wrong to believe that God can do a great work in your life. If he just do what he say do, and it will work. It may not seem like much. You don't have to do something big that everybody can see. It's just doing exactly what God say will make the difference. Whatever he say do, just like Mary. She wanted Jesus to do a miracle because they were out of wine. She told her servants, "Whatever he say, do, do it." Now I'm doing what Mary would do. Whatever Jesus say, do, do it. And it's going to work. And I promise you, whatever he say, do, it will be the best choice you could possibly make with the condition you're in and the time you have left and the way God can use you. Have faith in him. Whatever he say, do, do it. And do it with all you got and with all of your heart. Always remember, many people have done works that started off small and it grew. And Jesus, he does things in order. He knows that how long your life will last, and how many people he can bless, how many people you can reach. There are people out there that will look to you. Isaiah was one of the first things the Lord told him was not to say that he was a child. He felt like he was a child. He said, "Not me, I'm just a child." And the Lord said, "Say not you're a child." Now he said that because he was groomed to believe he was too young and too inexperienced and too everything to do exactly what God was saying do. And he had to learn some things about himself. The Lord will give you whatever revelation you need to get the job done. Now, this is something that happened in Luke chapter 10, verse 23. It says, And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, 'Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' Now, he went on to something else, but many people, many prophets desired to see the things that the disciples of Jesus did see, and did not see them. They died in full expectation of the wondrous works of God. They died believing. They died wanting to see the things that his disciples truly did see. Now, we have not followed devised fables of men, but we follow the Holy Spirit. And most of the things that the Holy Spirit will give us to do look like there's no way in the world it's going to work. But something on the inside says no. We have an unction from within that says we're on to something. The spirit of man is like the candle of the Lord. And the Holy Spirit know how to light it. Now, when the Lord speak a word in you, you can feel it burning. You can feel it burning. Now, I've learned to do this. Fan the flames that the Lord of the fire that the Lord has set. If you go around telling people what you got in mind and doing what God put on your heart, they don't have it. They don't see it, even though they love you. And they're going to try to shape it according to whatever they believe. Let the Holy Spirit fan the flames. When you go to church, he's going to cause the pastor or whoever's speaking to say things that's going to fan the flames. You don't have to broadcast it. Just do the work. Do what he say do. Let it grow in you. And receive parts of God's word that will cause it to grow. And then you'll have to believe it, and you're going to have to act on it, and it's going to work. But whatever the Lord started in you, it will continue.